So what does duty have to do with unconditional love? Beauty has everything to do with unconditional love, because beauty is love. Love is God. And if love is God, then beauty must be love. And then beauty must be God. So it all ties in. It's all one. There is nothing about unconditional love, or there is nothing about love that is not emanating from the aspects of God. And so it is about us recognizing that God is the eternal giver. The reason I said that God is the eternal giver in relationship to unconditional love is because love is always about giving. Unconditional love is always about the other person. It's always about nature. It's always about us. And we know that it is about recognizing eternal givingness in our oneness. So we know that it's all love. And we've come to the conclusion that it's all God. If God is love, then it must be all God. It is about opening up our heart space and allowing ourselves to bask in this quality, which is a divine quality of God. It's a divine quality of beauty, the divine quality of love. It's about giving, and it's also about receiving. It's unconditional love. Sometimes we wonder, okay, so am I supposed to be always giving? Am I supposed to be the one that's always feeling as though I'm the one that needs to make a difference? Am I the one that... I'm going to backtrack for a little bit. There is something that happens when we have, or when we experience unconditional love. Something happens that sort of makes that connection to another person. And in that connection, it's almost an openness. It feels as though a heart or hearts become open to the other person, or to nature, as we will talk about later on. We realize that in unconditional love, we are not alone. There is, Ernest Holmes says in The Science of Mind that the universe is impersonal. It gives alike to all. It is no respecter of person. It values each alike. Its nature is to impart, and our nature is to receive. So the way I see unconditional love is as though I am looking into a mirror, and I am seeing, and that mirror obviously would be a person, my neighbor, my partner, just our everyday relationship. As I look into a mirror, as I look into these people, I see myself bouncing back at me, and I see the different qualities bouncing back at me. And some of these qualities, as David and Connie spoke about last week, is that part of me that I see in you. And it is that quality that I am open to. It's that quality that I am aspiring to see in my own life. And so I am thinking that unconditional love opens us up through other people. We see and understand and recognize who we truly are in love. So I have made the conclusion that unconditional love has everything to do with the other person. Greg Beyer, and Greg Beyer wrote the book on real love, and he has quite a few workbooks that you can follow through. This is his first book, and real love means, in terms of the unconditional loving, he also mentioned a lot about what is conditional loving, why I love you because, or, you know, different aspects, different things that happen in a relationship, that when we really look at it, it all boils down to conditional loving. It's something that is happening in our relationship that we tie to an outcome, and that usually is a conditional loving. But he mentioned that when someone is genuinely concerned about our happiness, we do feel that connection to another person. We feel included in his or her life, and in that instant, we are no longer alone. Each moment of unconditional acceptance creates a living thread to the bond that fills us with a genuine and lasting happiness. Nothing but unconditional love can do that. In addition, when we know that even one person loves us unconditionally, we feel a connection to everyone else. We feel included in the family of all mankind, of which I am a part of it. End of quote. So this now brings me to the talk that Connie did 2 weeks ago, when she asked David to speak a little bit more on "You are that part of me that." And the way I have interpreted "you are that part of me that" has to do with we are all one. It's a oneness. It's an eternal oneness. And there are hundreds of qualities of this oneness, of which I've put a sheet on your desk, in front of you. And, you can take a look at this at any time. And so when we look at another person, or when we connect with another person, some of these qualities jump out very, very quickly that we can interpret in another person. Obviously, because we are all love, because we are all beauty, we are one with God, we are one in God. So everyone is capable of expressing all the qualities of God. But in each of us, certain qualities will be more apparent than others. And there is generally one not significantly a whole lot that just pops out at us as being prominent in our lives. To recognize these qualities, we have recognized also that it is a quality that talks about our own uniqueness. It can help us when we practice seeing these qualities in others. You know, you're wondering, okay, let's say faith or conviction or power or maybe courage or creativity. What about these that is drawing me to this person? So David mentioned that last week, or Connie mentioned that David saw Reverend Hillary as expressing freedom. That part of him, that freedom part of him, just welled up, seeing and knowing that Reverend Hillary had that aspect of her. Had that aspect in her. And that is something that "you are that part of me." What does "you are that part of me" have to do with unconditional love? Let's go in that direction. remembering that unconditional love is about oneness. Seeing you in me and me in you, seeing nature in me and nature in you, is what unconditional love is all about. So, I think one must possess the quality before he can even recognize it in others. God is self-existent. God knows it is its own reason for being. That's one of the... One must possess the quality before he can even recognize that quality in others. How do I know that I have this quality? How do I know that the essence that is in me is the same essence in you? Quoting from Ernest Holmes on page 469, we are surrounded by a spirit of living intelligence and eternal givenness, love, goodness, and power that wishes to express itself through us. So, we have like a divine urge that is within us that recognizes itself in others. This divine urge allows us to open ourselves to see what we need for our lives in another. Our own minds are an expression of this divine mind, and so we must be of that same essence. So in order to identify that quality that we see in another, we have to know that it is intrinsically there. We have to know that it is who we are. It is our core. And we are dealing with a neutral creative power, just as we would in the case of like electricity or whatever natural force there is. We, as we externalize our thoughts, we basically, as what Rick said today, water reaches its own level and deep calls unto deep. We are at the point where, because we feel that urge within us, it's almost connecting with another person. It's almost connecting with that aspect of nature. And so we know that God takes care of itself. God takes care of its own. God is self-existent. And we know that there are no mistakes in life. And so the qualities that we see in another person, and the qualities that we feel so strongly about, is the quality that it's what we are literally forging towards. It's what's going to lift us up. It's what's going to take us into that next dimension. And so, as we look at our lives, we know that the connections we make, we know that the people that we meet on a daily basis, we know that our husbands, our wives, our partners, our children, we know that they are all a part of us. And each person presents and brings out that aspect of us that sort of completes or complements the oneness that we are forging forward for. In other words, it is recognizing the love in others, and it is knowing for sure that the love we recognize is absolutely love. Love knows love. God knows nothing less or nothing else but love. There are no mistakes. And so for us to be yearning after unconditional love means that there is that aspect of us that is unconditional love. And I guess that's the reason why we embrace romance and why we embrace intimacy in such a way with such gusto, because we love what romance brings into our lives. It brings up a lot of the qualities that are the qualities of God. Seeing intimacy and seeing that romantic aspect of love really introduces and brings in, it almost brings us to ourselves. It introduces us to our core nature. It introduces us to freedom, and it introduces us to the desires that we want to see completed in our life that would make us feel whole. As the song says, "Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way." It's not the H-O-L-Y, but it's the W-H-O-L-Y. And we are, by nature, always wanting wholeness, always wanting perfection. And this is one of the ways that we can see so clearly when we are introduced to love. Love brings up a lot of issues for us, a lot of wonderful feelings. It also brings up our connection to nature. You know, it doesn't have to be a romantic love. You can sit on a mountain, you can sit just outside and just look out and appreciate nature, and you feel that flood of the feelings you get from even being in love. You feel a sense of oneness, you feel a sense of wholeness with nature, and more so with the people that are around you. You feel connected. We have all experienced our essence, alone or with another. Such experiences had powerful impact on our personal lives, and they remain unforgettable because we experience ourselves as more awake than usual. In love, we feel energized, we feel open, we feel expansive, we feel connected, and we feel vital. When we fall in love, these are some of the qualities that we notice. Some of the qualities, and these are some of the qualities that is God. When we are sitting in time of nature, these are the same type of qualities that come forth. A time when you feel treasured or valued by another. How do you feel when you feel that you are truly unconditionally loved? Watching the sun rise and the sunset does that for me. I feel just so connected, and it's almost a feeling of just love. It's a feeling of beauty, and it's a feeling of spaciousness. At these moments, our essential selves shine through in the qualities we feel and exhibit. You know, when you're in love, there are feelings that go through you, and you just don't care. You would smile, you walk down the road, and you would just grin, and you don't care who is looking at you or thinking that you might be, you know, kind of losing it. You just go with the flow, and it's that flow, it's that feeling, it's that fullness, it's that wholeness that that en- encompasses you. That is the essence of who we are. That is the feeling of what unconditional love is. When we fall in love, we believe sometimes that our partners are the ones to be credited for this unbelievable feeling. But really, these feelings are deep within us. These feelings are our core essence that just rises to the top. And it's obviously motivated by an external force, which in our case is a teacher or a lover or maybe an enlightened person, you know. These are people that bring out these types of qualities in us. But just know that another person cannot bring that into our lives. It is that these qualities are there first and foremost and are awakened because of experiences like these. So, how can I embrace that part of me that I see in you? As our ability to explore and reveal this essence within us grows, we experience a corresponding expansion in our capacity to connect intimately with another. So that means if you find yourself yearning after the qualities that another may possess, or if you find that you're in congruence with qualities in another or in nature that excites you, it may just be a sign that tells you that you are really growing bigger and more connected to who you are. You are becoming deeper in spirit, deeper in your connection. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to see who you are, what you are in another person, and to go for it. Going for it is where we find that we become a little more vulnerable. And sometimes we don't have to go for it. Sometimes just experiencing it in another person sort of ring the bell that, hey, that is that part of me that excites me. That is that part of me that I see in another person that opens me up to the feeling of being loved, to the feeling of beauty, to the feeling of passion, to the feeling of whatever it may be. It's all unconditional love. So to accomplish this, which this means that if we really need to open up, we want to open our minds to the possibility that there is more to life than we usually recognize, and we must learn to move into unfamiliar dimensions of our experience. So if we feel pulled to another person's quality, and if we feel that this quality is what would expand us into our next opening, into our next dimension, then I say go for it. I say become vulnerable. Vulnerability is it's a heck of a thing, you know. Like Leon Rimes said, I hope you dance. When you have a choice to listen to that music and you really feel that you need to dance, but there is something that tells you to sit it out, she invites you to dance, you know. Vulnerability in seeing what opens up to you, seeing what unfolds in another person, allows you to continue that givingness. Because holding on to that aspect of you and closing down what you're seeing and what you know you want that would make and enrich your life will allow you to, would literally block you from moving on to that next step. You know, Emerson said, move yourself from, maybe I should read it. Fear blocks, well, Ernest Holmes says this, fear blocks the more complete givenness of the spirit to its highest form of manifestation on this planet, which is mankind. Fear arises from the mental attitude which limits the possibility and the willingness of spirit to give us the good we so greatly desire. There is nothing wrong in the desire for self-expression. God is more completely expressed through the man who lives largely than through the one who lives meagerly. So, go for it with the gusto that you feel when you see the quality in another person, or if you see the quality in nature. Go for it. Become vulnerable. Emerson said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way of your light. You know, the light which is the self-expression that is being unfolded to you, don't harm yourself by blocking it and causing a shadow. So be very aware of your vulnerability and open your heart regardless of who sees, who hears, who judges you, who complains about you, including yourself. You are your best and your worst judge. So vulnerability means that you know that you may feel stupid or upset or immature when you try to dance, but you still do, because you emerge into a different dimension when you press forward, when you forge forward. It may mean that you may feel empty and lonely and afraid when you decide that you are the only one at choice in every moment, and that my behavior and now and in the past can never ever be blamed on my past or present lover, my parents, my employers, etc. We know that there are aspects of us, obviously, from our childhood where we grew up in situations, we grew up where we didn't feel love, we grew up where we felt very burdened and very guilty. But because we are now adults, and because we have accepted the responsibility of making choices and making the type of choices that's going to move us into a next or new dimension, we need to let the past go. We need to forgive the past. We need to just drop it and move on, press forward from vulnerability into ever-expandedness. We are not going to be vulnerable forever. And, you know, just being open. You know, for example, with me, I had vowed never to really get into a very serious relationship. Never. Because I thought I was very independent and I just could be where I am and just be the good old great gorgeous Gail that I've always been. And and still is. But events in my life had changed, and you know, it changed while I was doing one of the most intense workshops on relationships. I was doing my Practitioner 2 training, and we were dealing with relationships. And I've realized that I have for many, many, many years stood in my light, stood in the path of love that caused shadows. And I thought I was living very comfortable in the shadows. I was very easy. You know, there was nothing to sort of twirl the waters around me. And if there were any twirling, I caused the twirling. But I decided there and then to be vulnerable, to be open to love. And at that point, I couldn't care whether someone saw my vulnerability, they heard it, they judged it, because I wanted to move out from that point of almost darkness. It's a little shadow that was the aspect of my life. And I've moved out of it. I am no longer vulnerable for the issues I had to deal with. Didn't feel good at the time, but as I kept trudging on, as I kept forging forward, and as I kept knowing that I am going to be bigger and better and more expansive as Gail, for myself first, and then as Gail in the relationship, I couldn't have a better relationship. I just have a most loving aspect of me unfolding in my relationship. And so I take that aspect of me to, because I am a choice. I'm a choice to focus on things that come in, focus on things that go out, and just be a choice to be happy at all times. And so in closing, wanted to just share with you one of Greg Baez, his statement on unconditional love. I know we haven't gone so much into that direction as I would have wanted, but this is how it worked out, and this is how it's going to be. I want you to just drop everything and just relax and hear what I, just listen to what I am saying, and we can talk about that after our break. So picture yourself relaxing in the back of a chauffeur-driven car. You are on the way to a town 2 hours away. It's a small town you've never visited. In fact, no one knows about this place but you and the people who lived there. Although it's a beautiful place situated in a lovely valley, you're not going there to see the sights. You're going because everyone there is genuinely happy. They are happy because they all feel loved. In this place, there is no fear or anger. And you're going because they invited you. As you pull up to the house where you'll stay, dozens of people surround your car. They touch you gently, help you into the house, ask you about your trip, and look at you in a way you've never seen or felt before. You sense with absolute certainty that the only concern for everyone in that town is your happiness. Because they have everything that really matters in life, because they feel loved and happy themselves, they don't need you to do anything for them, and you know that. So you know there is nothing you can do to disappoint them or hurt them. As you communicate with these new friends, you can see that it doesn't matter to them whether you're smart or pretty or handsome. You don't have to do anything to impress them or get them to like you. They truly don't care if you say something stupid or if you make mistakes. It finally and powerfully occurs to you that it's impossible to be embarrassed or ashamed around these people because they love you no matter what you do. That is the feeling of being unconditionally loved. And that is the feeling when you are unconditionally loved. There is just no barrier to who you can be, where you can be, and how open you can become. And that's my talk. Thank you.
Thank you.